This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Many people ride bicycles for fun and exercise, but a growing number of greater Cincinnatians are also choosing cycling as their main mode of transportation. One survey found commuting by bike has increased 200% here in the last decade. And joining us to discuss the ins and outs of cycling in Greater Cincinnati, our senior city planner with the Cincinnati Department of Transportation and Engineering, Melissa McVeigh. Melissa works on all of the city's bicycle infrastructure projects. Also, Park and Vine owner and bike advocate Dan Corman, and the owner of Reaser Bicycles, Jason Reaser. Thanks to everybody for being here this afternoon.
It's good to be here.
So the survey that I mentioned says commuting by bike is up 200% in the last 10 years in Cincinnati. Melissa, does that sound right to you? And do you think that's an accurate picture of what is going on in Cincinnati when it comes to biking?
It does sound right to me. We actually do our own bicycle counts here in Cincinnati locally each year with assistance from Queen City Bike. And we have definitely seen an increase over the last couple of years. It's really, there's been a lot of momentum in the city around cycling culture. It's been really incredible to see.
Dan, how big is cycling in Cincinnati?
Well, it's definitely getting bigger. I mean, you, Melissa knows the stats better than I would, but I'm definitely seeing more people on bikes, more commuting, which is exciting. I commute to work every day, commute to the shop from Evanston, so I'm seeing more folks going both ways.
And Jason, from your perspective, would you agree with that? It's grown by that much, do you think?
Yeah, I see a lot of recreational riders, but the commuters is what really keeps growing. It's become more of a mainstream idea to ride your bike to work. It used to be people would ride their bike and they'd be the person in the office that really stuck out. And now, there's offices where half the employees will ride to work.
I think there have to be a lot of advantages to doing it. Save on gasoline, probably a little bit easier to park, I'd think, that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely cheaper than a car for gas, for insurance, for car wear, parking, all those things. Plus, it's like a free gym membership.
That's a good point, too. Did each of you bike here today? That's another question.
I think we all did.
Yeah, all biked today. I'm impressed.
And notice none of us are wearing spandex. We're all wearing our normal clothes. I'm wearing high-heeled shoes.
I'm not wearing high heel shoes, but...
No spandex.
Right.
That's a good thing so far. So,
but I think that really speaks to what Jason was saying earlier, is that more and more we are seeing sort of average, quote-unquote, average-looking people riding bikes around the city. They're wearing normal clothes. They don't look like, super health freaks. We're just average kind of people using bikes for transportation.
So it is definitely moving from being a mode of exercise, still a great mode of exercise, to more of a mode of transportation, as you were noting. So how does Cincinnati compare to other cities when it comes to being bike friendly? Wasn't the city on a bike unfriendly list of one type at one point, Mel?
Oh, I don't know about that, but we recently were added to the League of American Bicyclists list of bronze level bike friendly cities, which was a huge accomplishment for Cincinnati. And they base that on many things, but it's your in-street infrastructure like bike lanes, your off-street infrastructure like trails, and also just the culture, which we have a great cycling culture here. We have so many fun rides that happen on a weekly basis or an annual basis, bike prom, picnic rides, tweed rides where people dress up in old-timey clothing. So we have a lot going for us, and I think the League of American Bicyclists recognized that.
And Dan and Jason, your perspectives on the bike culture in Cincinnati, it's a growing thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely a growing thing. Mel, all three of us were actually at the bicycle conference that the Cincinnati Dealer Association.
Yeah, the Cincinnati Cycling Conference.
Yeah, and that, I forget how many people were there, and it was more of a retreat than anything, about 2 hours, but just this reporting out on things that are happening locally. And then we had Andy Clark from the League of American Bicyclists there. I wasn't able to really engage with him. I wasn't able to go on any rides with him earlier in the day, but I think he was really impressed with the amount of work that has gone into improving bicycling here in Cincinnati and across the river as well. And I think that's a key point, too, is there is a good relationship between both sides of the river. I know if you go to the Purple People Bridge, you'll just see a good flow of folks going back and forth. That's the main bridge that people use if they're not in a car to get to the other side of the river. But Andy, actually, I know Andy from when I worked at the Chicagoland Bicycle Federation. He would come to Chicago several times a year, and it was good to see him again and to hear him speak so emphatically about what's happening here. And he was very positive about local government, specifically Mayor Cranley, and points that he's made in favor of bicycling. And maybe Jason could add something to that.
Yeah, it was it's kind of a last-minute idea to invite who was in a new Mayor Cranley to the conference. And we thought there was a chance he would come, but he actually showed up and had a very long talk about, you know, what he wants to see in the city as far as, you know, bike trails, natural surface trails, multi-use, you know, running bike trails. He compared it a little bit to his experiences in Boston and how he wants to have more of that and more than Boston here in Cincinnati. And he thinks that we have the ability to do so.
And I should point out, you know, having done a lot of research on bike programs in other cities, that is very rare. We're very lucky to have a mayor who is so committed to bike infrastructure. It's really going to, we've had a lot of momentum going the last few years, but with this new commitment from Mayor Cranley, it's really going to just exponentially grow our bike community, I think, and we're very lucky.
Mel, do the city officials look on bicycling as an opportunity to attract more people to the city, and do they see that there are economic benefits that would come from being a more bike-friendly city?
Definitely. That's one of the things that we speak about frequently when we're out in the community, is that when you look at other cities that really are drawing population in, particularly young people, and growing those sort of vibrant urban areas, having a great bicycle transportation network is one of the items that's really critical. That's something that people are looking for when they're deciding where to live. You know, when people are getting jobs and they're deciding, should I go to Chicago? Should I go to Cincinnati? Should I go to San Francisco? For a lot of folks, that's something that they specifically look into now. What is the bike infrastructure like in that city?
Are companies becoming more bike-friendly? Employers providing, say, showers or places to store bikes? Is that becoming more and more common in the experience of the three of you?
I think it is. And nationwide, it definitely is, and it certainly is here in Cincinnati. Queen City Bike has a program called Bicycle Friendly Destinations, where they certify local businesses and organizations as bike friendly based on exactly those types of amenities. And I'll say also on the flip side, I'm starting to read about a lot more companies that are deciding where to locate themselves based on the type of bicycle infrastructure that's available. Mayor Rahm Emanuel had a great quote about Google choosing to locate themselves on a street with a protected bike lane, because that was something that company saw as a real amenity for their workers.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And let's talk with Mike in Sharonville. Good afternoon, Mike.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I had a question, and I tuned in a little bit late, so I don't quite know your guests too much, but it sounds like there are folks that can change things if they, you know, or at least listen to complaints or whatever. But you guys were talking about bike friendly or bike unfriendly, and I guess, you know, I'm a pretty avid cyclist. I told the gentleman when I was signing on that I bike down the Pacific Coast a couple times, and I bike from Cincinnati to D.C. and, you know, rode a bike. I've worn out bikes, you know, and I've ridden a lot of roads and stuff. And as far as Cincinnati's concerned, and I've lived in some cities too, but Cincinnati's my hometown. But as far as Cincinnati's concerned, the only thing I that's tough for me as a cyclist is the skinny lanes on roads paired up with square curbs. You know, it's just like, I mean, I got a buddy of mine from Florida. He's really a good cyclist, and he can jump over the curves, but I can't do that. And okay. So if I feel a threat from behind, you know, like a car coming up on me and stuff, it would be really advantageous if I could just get off the road. And I'm up here, you know, in Sharonville along Kemper Road and stuff. And I know they use the square off lanes to try to keep cars on the road and stuff. And that's the theory, but I mean, if I could just, you know, talk to the guys that are designing the roads. I'm looking over on Chester Road where they're still doing work, and you can tell they're widening and they're going to put new curbs in. And just if you could just put more rounded off curbs or no curbs at all would be fine. It just would really help cyclists, you know, in lieu of putting a special bike lane out there and stuff. And so I don't know if your guests know anything about that or any possibilities of changing road design.
Well, thanks, Mike. And we'll ask Mel about that since she's in city planning. Maybe she has some insights on that.
Unfortunately, I don't know the exact reason. I do know that we, at least in the city of Cincinnati, prefer that type of squared curb over the rolled curb, but I'm not sure why. I suspect it has to do with safety or possibly the sewer issues. That I know that's why we want to have curb in general, is to keep that stuff rolling right. But I really couldn't speak to the curb.
It's my understanding there's a consortium of north suburbs, too. I think Sharonville may be part of that. I don't know the exact. There's even an acronym for it, and I'm not sure how active they are. But that would be something to look into. And then also speaking to someone, you know, have you spoken to anybody at the—
He's not with us.
Oh, he's not with us anymore.
Yes.
Okay. At the local level is obviously a good place to start. And then— riding predictably is very important, just as it is for a vehicle, because bicycles are vehicles, just like cars are. So it's very important for bikes to ride predictably and not to swerve back and forth, because it just confuses the other folks on the road, and it puts you in greater danger. And I happen to be one of those people when I'm riding on a bike. And most roads that I travel tend to be safe, and I'm riding them on a regular basis, so I know how to get through them. But the ones that are a little iffier, I tend to use my head a little bit more, and literally, and kind of make sure that folks around me know that I know that they're there. And for some reason, I just get this feeling that they have a little bit more respect for me, because they have a sense that they can see that I'm paying attention to what's going on around me. But I can't stress that enough about how important it is to ride predictably as a bicyclist, as well as a car driver.
What's the number one complaint, Jason and Dan? What's the number one complaint that you hear from bikers about motorists?
Well, I think that it goes both ways, but cyclists that follow the rules, they sometimes have trouble, with drivers that don't think or don't know that they belong on the road. They don't belong on the sidewalk. That they are actually to be cyclists or to be treated as vehicles when they're riding. And so they have certain rights to the road. They can ride too wide. They're supposed to stay towards the right of the lane. Unless they're turning left, then they can go to signal and go to left lane, things like that. So I think that a lot of cyclists think there should be more driver education as to how to handle cyclists.
But you bring up a good point, too. It's a two-way street. The bicyclists themselves have to be aware as well, like you were saying, Dan. You have to really be aware of what's going on around you and keep an eye out for the drivers. You can't always assume that they're going to see you and
right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, on a regular basis, I see, people checking their phones or having a conversation with the person next to them or who knows what else. That's just kind of human nature. So there are a lot of dynamics when you're on the road. Especially, I've noticed, and I'm sure it's the same for other folks as well, rush hour outbound tends to be a little more frantic versus morning inbound. People tend to be a little more stressed and wanting to get going. So I tend to be on higher alert when I'm on my bike. But for the most part, I feel safe on Cincinnati roads. I would say a majority of folks are getting used to seeing bikes on the road and are empathetic. They can see themselves on that bike as well. So they tend to be paying attention to what's going on. The one thing that I see occasionally happening, and it kind of startles me a little bit, is a car like pressing a horn to startle a bicyclist. I've seen that a little bit more recently. I'm not sure why, but maybe I just happen to be in at those locations at that time where that happened. But that can be very destructive or distracting to a bicyclist.
And Mel, as Jason was pointing out, bikes are allowed to be on the road by law.
Yes.
What does the law say as far as cars and bikes? How much room does a bike get? How much room does a car have to give a bike? Do you know?
Actually, cars have to give bicycles 3 feet of space when passing in the city of Cincinnati. And I'll also point out that not only do bicycles have the right to be in the road, you are required to be in the street if you are an adult in Cincinnati.
Like Jason was mentioning, yes.
Yes, you actually cannot be on the sidewalk, which is very frustrating when you're riding down the street and somebody pulls up behind you in a car and slams on the horn and says, get off the street, get on the sidewalk. That, obviously they don't know what the law says, but we do need to be in the street. And cars are required by Cincinnati Municipal Code to provide 3 feet of safe passing distance, and that's really a safety issue.
Do you think relationships between drivers and bicyclists are getting better in Cincinnati?
I do. I think, you know, the more cyclists that drivers see, and the more that there's education for both, and they're getting used to seeing, you know, just being sharing the road with each other, that it's becoming a much, much better scene. Everyone knows how to handle themselves, and traffic flows along pretty well.
Mel, what are some of the specific projects that are geared to making Cincinnati a more bike-friendly city that you're seeing in your office?
Well, we have a lot going on. There's currently bike lanes being installed, literally right now, on Delta Avenue out in Mount Lookout and Columbia, Tusculum, and Hyde Park, which is something we've been getting requests for years and years. It's a pretty steep hill. If you've ever tried to ride a bike up Delta Avenue, it's not easy unless you're really, really fit, in my opinion. So that's pretty exciting, and that'll be finished in the near future. The Wasson Way bike pedestrian trail is another project folks are really excited about. It stretches through 7 or 8 city neighborhoods. We just submitted a federal transportation grant request for that to try to get some funding for construction. So that's pretty neat.
How tough is it to get funding for these kind of projects?
I was told that they will select about 40 projects out of 500 for this latest grant that we just submitted. So fingers crossed. I think we put together a really good application, though.
So it's pretty competitive, then, I take it.
It is very competitive.
How many?
I was just going to say the Delta Avenue. It's not finished yet. I rode up it last week. It just, like, stopped me literally in my tracks, and I jumped off my bike and took a photograph. I mean, things already seem or feel a lot more organized on that street, and traffic seems like it's going more slowly through there, which would be the same for Riverside Drive. I feel a lot more comfortable riding through there, and I know a lot more people who are getting into bicycling more prefer Riverside Drive because traffic is slower and thinner.
Mm-hmm. Mel, how many miles of bike lanes does Cincinnati have?
Oh, gosh, I should have brought my numbers with me.
it doesn't have to be exact.
we have almost 20 miles of bike lane now, I think.
Wow.
And then another couple miles of Sharrows, which are the funny-looking chevrons you see sometimes in the street. It's slang for shared lane arrow, and when you see those, they're just reminding you that you're sharing that bikes and cars are sharing the road. That's probably a corridor where there are a lot of bikes, and that bikes are supposed to be riding through the center of that Sharrow. So it kind of also reminds motorists, you know, that bikes need to be in the center of that lane, or we call it taking the lane, so hopefully cars don't get too close.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Let's talk with Mickey in East Walnut Hills. Hi, Mickey. How are you?
Hi. I'm just fine.
Good.
Thank you all for sharing this stuff about this beautiful city. It just keeps getting more and more beautiful. And hats off to Lou Sands and all of the park people. My question is, what kind of bike do I get? I know nothing about them. I've been trying to. I want to because the exercise is a low impact on the hips, and I've had hip problems. So what kind of commuter bike should I get that would go, which would take me to D.C. if I wanted, or would just drive around the city streets?
Sounds like a Jason question to me.
Yeah, I think I can definitely answer this question. You know, a really good resource, the Bike Cincy website, bikecincy.com. It's the Cincinnati Bicycle Dealers Association. There's lots of good bicycle shops that can, you know, work with you, you know, size you, figure out exactly what kind of bike you're looking for. You know, take all your needs and your wants into account and let you test ride bikes and just really help you figure it out. And there's some bikes that are more versatile than others, but I think that, you know, everything you mentioned is very doable. So
it needs to be real simple, you know, like as far as gears. I don't know how people drive with 10 gears. But
yeah, some of the new shifting systems.
Thank you, Mickey.
Yeah, some of the new shifting systems are easier than the older systems. They click into each gear. They work under load, things like that. So, again, you know, test ride bikes, working with a local bicycle dealer, you know, there's really no way to go wrong there.
Yeah, there's a relatively new bike shop in East Walnut Hills on Woodburn, or you could go across the river to Reaser on Monmouth.
That's right.
That's where I got
Jason, somebody comes into your shop and they say, I haven't ridden in years. I haven't done this in a long time. What's your best advice for an adult that wants to get started again?
Well, you know, there's no time like the present. Sometimes you just have to, go in the garage or go down to a shop and get started. Pull the old bike out and get it rolling, and just, see how it goes. There's a lot of great groups if you want to go riding with a group. Mobo has some slow and steady rides where it's just a cruising ride around town, not super fast at all. There's the Sensei Cycle Club, which are, usually longer group rides out onto a lot of, like, the rural roads. There's even mountain bike clubs like Sensei Off-Road Alliance, and you can meet a lot of fun people there.
What can someone expect to pay for a good bike?
Well, it really depends on what your needs are, and where you want to use it. Bikes have, always been a nice bike. It's always been a little bit more expensive than the most basic bike that you can find. But typically, when you spend a little more, you get a bike that's lighter, easier to use. The shifting's more simple, and you can get exactly the size and the features that you're looking for.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join our conversation, let's talk with Jeremy in Cincinnati. Good afternoon, Jeremy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I had a quick question for you. I'm a truck driver. Round Bottom Road down there in Newtown, I get a lot of bicyclists that drive up and down there. Is that a bike trail? I mean, is that
so
trailers?
It was it's actually labeled as a bikeway. It was a separate road from a lot of the highways in that area. For a long time, it was a nice area for bikes to slip out along the Little Miami River there. And then there have been a lot of landscaping companies and different trucking companies that have appeared on that road over the years. And so it is becoming a little bit more crowded. But it is still a decent way for cyclists to, ride out of the city and find a nice ride in the country. So you're starting to see a little more conflict there, but they are working on, I think, some bike lanes and actually the Little Miami Bike Trail in that area that should relieve some of the congestion.
Thanks for your question, Jeremy. We appreciate it. Let's talk with Bennett in Oakley. Hi, Bennett.
Hi. I wanted to know, what is the status of the Wasson Way project?
It is moving forward. Mayor Cranley and City Council have allocated funding for the purchase of the rail line, and we're working on some grant applications to get funding for design and construction. So we fully expect that project to move forward in the very near term.
Thank you, Bennett. We appreciate the call. 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And what are some of the things the city needs to do when it comes to becoming more accessible for bicyclists? Mel?
Oh, I don't know if I'm biased. I'm not sure I'm the right person to answer that question. What do you two think we need to
do? Dan could start.
Why don't you start?
Well, I think infrastructure is always a great place to start. Research nationwide shows that there are a lot of people who would like to ride bicycles but are really a little anxious about it, a little nervous, a little uncomfortable riding in the street. So I think all of these new trails that we're building are a great place to start. Mayor Cranley has made a priority of Ohio River Trail, Wasson Way, Mill Creek Trail. And what am I forgetting? Mill Creek, Wasson.
Well, what about the Way? Well, curious about the Lunken Trail, or is that part of one of the trails you mentioned?
A piece of Lunken is a part of the Ohio River Trail, actually. Okay. But I think those trails are a great way for people who are interested in getting into cycling to sort of start out, get some practice, and get used to the feel of riding again. So it's really exciting to have a lot of funding going into this trail development.
Dan, what's on your wish list?
I mean, I would agree with that. I think another key thing is connecting the neighborhoods, which ties in with what you were saying about infrastructure, like more visible physical infrastructure that's in the street that's better connecting our neighborhoods and our friends across the river, so that people are just going back and forth without even really thinking about it.
Yeah, I think it's been very interesting to see some of the trails right now and some of the bike lanes as they're being created. it's where the opportunity arises. So there's large reconstruction projects, and you know, for the city or the county to redo the roads with bike facilities has been awesome. Sometimes it seems a little disjointed right now, but you know, as we see some of these pieces fall together, I think we'll really get past a tipping point and see a lot more usage as you really see the facilities connect up.
Let's talk with Scott in Oakley. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon. I was just wondering, I ride my bike a lot, both on the street and on the trails. And because I work downtown, I take a bus to work, and overwhelming number of drivers in the morning and in the evening are texting. And that's one of my main concerns. And I just wondered if anybody's talked about a means of addressing that, because as a safety concern, that's what worries me more than most things when I'm on the road.
Thank you, Scott, for the question. You know, as far as I know now, Cincinnati, did they ever go through with a texting ban?
I thought that we did.
And I thought statewide there might be one in place, too. So it's not really legal for drivers to be doing in the first place, nor is it very wise.
Yeah, it sounds like an enforcement issue, an awareness, educational issue. But that's definitely an issue. I mean, just as he said, I mentioned earlier, that's something I notice when I'm on my bike all the time, people texting.
Dan, is there a payoff for the community in becoming more bike friendly?
Well, I think, I mean, as Mel mentioned, it can be an attraction for business. I know it's another way for people to get to businesses. I know for us, I'd say a majority of our employees bike to work, and a lot of our customers actually do, especially during the warmer months. But actually seeing people outside of a car or just outside, period, on a bicycle, there's just something about that that's exciting and liberating to see that people are just out and moving around that way.
Just, it looks like a more vibrant city,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and you see that in specific neighborhoods more so, like downtown OTR, Newport, Covington, Northside. There it's, and around the university, of course. But the more we see that, I think we're going to have a more vibrant city.
I agree. Mel, Dan, and Jason, thank you for joining me this afternoon. Mel McVeigh is the senior city planner with the Cincinnati Department of Transportation and Engineering. Dan Corman is the owner of Park and Vine and also a bike advocate. And Jason Reaser is the owner of Reaser Bicycles. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's program is Pete Reitmeier. The technical director is Bruce Ellis. I'm Mark Haney.